Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Experts Grip. This is a show that I started in order to try and connect with people I know and don't know that that are experts in their space, and they're considered experts by other people. It's the walk they do. They're kind of driven to share and educate and train people in what they do. And so today I'm joined by a friend of somebody I've known for, gosh, over 5 years, probably closer to a decade. It's really easy to know Drew. So Drew Becker, Drew is a writing coach, is based out of the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area of North Carolina. And, Drew has a couple of things, and we'll jump right in, and we're going to take most of the time having the experts just share their information. So I want to just kind of set some things up here, though. Is that Drew's, as we're doing this for a really long time, is a published author himself, helps a lot of folks, has a lot of tools and things that authors, folks who want to become an author, folks who are an author and they want to now publish their book or market their book or get an editor for a book, events, those kind of things, they look to a person like Drew. Drew's a co-sponsor of the Triangle Book and Writers Conference. That's coming up. I don't want to date this too much, but we're going to go ahead and do that. It's September 10th of 2016. The show's taking place in May of that year. So if you hear this, there's plenty of time. If you're in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill or within a driving distance of that area, you may want to put this on your calendar. September 10th, 2016. It's in Raleigh. It's on the NC, the North Carolina State campus. And it's really for anyone who's ever thought about writing a book, folks who want to write a book or enhance their reputation, somebody working on a book, somebody who's written a book and wants to know the next steps or those kinds of things. So there's going to be a lot of panels there and that sort of thing. So welcome today to Experts Grip, Drew.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here and to talk to people a little bit about their writing dreams and fantasies and the realities of what's involved in it.
Very cool. Well, let's jump in. So there's a lot of layers to the writing onion. Okay, you first have to have an author, and then there's different kinds of writers, and there's different ways to market it, and there's ways you can do it with print, you can do things on the CreateSpace, you can do things in Kindle. So let's set the table here with what does a writing coach do for a writer? So I want to write a book. I'm in different stages or phases of writing that book. What would a writing coach do for me? How would that help me?
Okay, Pat. What the first thing that I would do and that I do with my clients and prospects is I ask them, what is the purpose in your book? Because until the writer really knows why he's writing the book, why he or she is writing the book, it's very difficult to move forward. Once that's established for the writer, and the writer has a good grasp of that, then it makes the job a little bit easier. I run into a lot of people that just want to write a book, and they haven't thought about what do you want this book to do? Why do you want to write it? Are you passionate about it? Is it something you think you're going to make a lot of money from? Are you going to use it to enhance your reputation? Do you want to be known as a writer? Why are you writing the book? And I'm surprised at how many people I run into that say, well, no, I just thought I would write a book. And until that deep thought of why is really established, the writer's really not ready to write the book, even if he or she has already written 75 or 80% of it. So I really like to start with the purpose behind the writing, any writing. I mean, whether we're writing a book or whether you're writing a blog post or whether you're writing, to a friend, what's the purpose? Why are you going to spend the time to put pen to paper or, fingers to keys to go ahead and do that writing? So that's the first thing that I ask. And then from there, we can determine what's the best path, because there, as you mentioned, there are a number of different paths, especially for the independent writer today, the independent author, whether they're going to go with a traditional book, you're going to do a hardback, you're going to do a paperback, you're going to put it on the web as a Kindle book, or you're going to market it through Barnes & Noble and have it out that way. So there are a lot of different kinds of opportunities for writers. And once the purpose is established, then a writing coach can work with you and determine how to move forward.
So that makes a lot of sense.
You know, that's just kind of an overview.
Sense, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of an overview of it, and there's a whole process, of course, that's involved in writing, just like anything else. It's a project, and it's really got to be managed like a project with some of the same project management skills that are used in software development or in any kind of enterprise where it's important to stay on top of what's going on.
So let me jump in there then. So I like where you started, but I would think that many folks, no matter if they're going to do traditional or Kindle or paperback or whatever, knowing the purpose of the book makes sense, because at some time you're going to maybe want to market this book and get it to a larger audience, and I would think that knowing the purpose of the book and what you want to do would help you in those next stages as you decide what to do with your book. Otherwise, I mean, you could be 75 or 100% finished your book and never publish it, and then have the pleasure of having written a book. It never had to get out to the public. It's something you accomplished for yourself, and you can check that box, that bucket list thing. But when you start getting to having a need or desire to get it to a larger audience, I think you'd want to know, why are you doing it? The why. So knowing that, who should write a book? If that makes sense.
That's a good question. Yeah. Anyone who has something of value to share and has – well, let me back up. The people who should write a book are people that have a way to communicate, whether they're able to sit down and write it on their computer or their laptop or out by hand, or use software to dictate it and then have it changed into text. So some basic capability of being able to communicate is important if somebody wants to write a book. So that's almost a given, but some people overlook that. I've had people come to me who just don't have any command of the language who want to write a book, and yes, they can do it, but it's going to be a longer process, and it's going to be much more involved. So that's the foundation, and then probably what's the most important thing after that is having something of value to share. Whether the author is writing poetry, whether they're writing a how-to book for health, whether they're writing some kind of a business book that's going to help other business people become more successful. But it has to be something of value. There's so much information out there on the web, that if you're going to spend the time to write a book, make sure that it has value, not just for you, but for your reader, so that the reader is able to, is attracted to the book and wants to read it. A book without an audience, it's like sitting through a seminar and then not doing anything after you get done. So that's kind of important. And then I would say another type of person that should write a book is somebody who wants to improve their credibility and their visibility in their domain. Because as an author, as a published author, there's a certain reputation that goes with that that's really worthwhile. So, again, you've had two wonderful guests on who both could write books and probably will, because of the fact that with Alice, she's able to help people to write memoirs, and that's really an important kind of thing to be able to write as well. And I know she also writes poetry and some fiction and nonfiction with her people. And then you had Tim on who has all this valuable information about intergenerational interaction. And again, both of those are valuable topics to be able to communicate about. So the other thing I would say is people who do not have a passion to tell their story or to tell the information that's going to be in the book shouldn't start, because you really have to be passionate about this. It will take, you know, it takes a sustained effort, and therefore without the correct passion, somebody could easily start and not finish the project. There are a lot of people I know who started books and have not completed those books. So those are the people I think that should write a book. And again, with a writing coach, a lot of times some of the questions that come up and some of the situations that come up in terms of writing the book can be addressed, because every writer has challenges at some point along the line, and that's where the writing coach can help.
Makes sense, and I think the two elements that my takeaways there were value and passion, because it is a sustained effort. And I think that, if we think about it, just with the Internet, there is more content being created this week than was created prior to the 1700s. It's just an amazing amount. So if you don't have enough, if you don't really have value or something like that, there's a lot of audiences. So it's just because I may not find something of value, if you know why you're writing and who you're writing to, you can find an audience that's really interested in more tips about quilting or how to jump higher or whatever. So you don't let somebody else's value proposition determine what you'll move forward with. A passion is certainly something there. I know I've purchased books that ended up seeming more like a collection of blog posts than they were a book, and I can get all that information I want just by Googling. So we know the purpose of the book, and we know whether we're a person that should be writing a book. And so what kind of things should I write about? I know it's me. I'm multiple talents or interested. What should I write about?
Ah, very good question. This is something that I, when I work with in business writing, one of the first foundational concepts that I come up with. We've all learned that you sit in front of a piece of paper, or you sit in front of a blank screen, or you sit in front of a typewriter and look at the blank page and say, what am I supposed to write? This is the exact opposite of how to write. We need to switch that and start asking a different question. And that question is, what do my readers need to know? So this begs the question of knowing your audience, of course. And we can get into that in a few minutes. But this whole switch of what to write about is, yes, if you're passionate about something, it might be good to write about. But who are you writing for? Who's out there that would like to know about, in your case, I know you work with a lot of digital marketing. So you have who in your specific realm would be interested in what about digital marketing? So is it for instance, in your case, is it creating a funnel? Could you write a book about creating a funnel that would be of value to other folks out there? That's the kind of question to ask. And if the answer to that is yes, you have your topic as soon as you know that there's an audience that would have an interest in that. If you're interested in, sewing or underwater basket weaving or whatever your area happens to be, is there an audience there? And do you have something to say, as you say, that somebody just can't go out on the Internet and look at a blog post about? Can you create value for that audience? But the question of what to write is really a function of what do your readers need to know, not what are you going to write.
No, I understand that. I appreciate that. I have no interest in writing a book on digital marketing. But if I did, I'd certainly be calling you to have you a coach. I want to just throw a couple things in there, and then I'll grab some more questions. But, one thing that we had said is, should you write a book, and who should write a book, and the purpose of the book, whatever. But I do want to cover something that I've always thought is that there's this thing I call the curse of knowledge. And sometimes we don't think we know enough because we know it so well. And we think, doesn't everybody know this, that we don't think we have something very valuable or meaningful or purposeful or whatever to share. And so I think some of the things sometimes people have to get over is this curse of knowledge. You know more about publishing a book and getting a book through and getting through the walls and what are the steps than I will ever know. And you sometimes might think that, I've got this. It's really easy. So just because some things are easy for us, so one of the things you have to break that curse of knowledge. Another thing you said that I thought was really important is know your audience. We live in a time that helps make that so much easier. you can survey an audience. I know when the 4-hour work week was published afterwards, the author had shared that some of the things he did is he used Google AdWords in order to find out what the right title of his book was. So he didn't just come out with a book and nobody really was interested in the title. So he spent $100 or so and found out that this title, 4-hour work week, was drew more folks and had more interest. Now, he did this before he wrote the book. You can also do things with Facebook in groups where you're asking. So I guess one of the things we can do now is you're not in a cocoon. You're not off by yourself. You can actually ask the market, ask your audience what they'd like to learn from you before you write your book. So what is so that those are some things there. What do you consider some of the first steps that people have that would-be authors need to take in order to move forward?
Okay, well, I told you the first step is to determine the purpose. And, you know, why are you going to write the book? The second thing is who is your audience? And to go back to this curse of knowledge, that's a great point because there are things that we all know and we take for granted. Now, I'm fortunate. I spent a while as a technical writer in corporate America. And one of the things I had to do as a technical writer was be untechnical. I had to take technical information, and then I had to be as naive as possible when I was taking that information and create, and actually I called it translation. I was translating it for the users who would be using the software. And it took me a long time because it was like, okay, well, you know, you log on. Okay, how many steps are there? You log on, you select this, and you do that. And then you go ahead and push the submit button and you're done. Well, no, it's not really that simple for somebody who's out there who's never seen the software before. And so I got a leg up on that doing technical writing. But I think all authors have to do that. They have to step back, especially if they're writing nonfiction. Excuse me. They have to step back and determine who, again, this has to do with audience. How much does my audience know? So if I can't go out and determine that via Facebook or something else like that, I consider one of the best things to do is find somebody that doesn't know your area and sit down, take them to lunch and say, if you were going to read a book on how to publish, what would you want to know? And the first thing they would say is, well, I'd want to know everything. And I'd say, okay, what would you want to know about? So then I would have to break it down for them and say, what would you want to know, for instance, about doing research? What would you want to know about writing a draft? What would you want to know about how to edit that draft? What would you want to know about working with editors? And I would take them through the whole process of what's involved in publishing, having broken it down into those pieces, so then they can start to think of, well, here's the things I really want to know. I mean, I know I need to get an editor at some point, but, you know, how do I pick a good editor? And I'd write down how to pick a good editor. And I would probably write, if I were going to write that book on publishing, I would write a whole section on how to select an editor. So querying the audience or a potential audience member is really helpful. Again, some of that can be done online. But again, the important thing is to break it down so that you can ask you can get people to ask questions in a small piece of what your whole domain that you're going to write about. Because otherwise people won't know.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about avatars before, and why that's important to a writer. Anything you can add to that right at this point?
Yeah, I mean that goes exactly to the point of a lot of what we've talked about with audience so far. Mm-hmm. And first of all, let's talk about what an avatar is. Many people saw the movie, so they know that it was a way to climb into a suit and be somebody else. But an avatar for a writer is a character almost. It's a character that's going to read your book. And so we need to know everything we can about that character. We need to know how old they are. Is he or she a male or a female? Do they go to church? What magazines do they read? Do they have children? What are their hobbies? What would they be doing on a Saturday afternoon? So by defining that, in fact, I tell my people, when you're defining an avatar, you give them a name. You give them an exact name, and I want you to be able to visualize them, because that's the person to write to. You really want to write to that specific person that you know. If you write to everybody, you're writing to nobody. But if you write to somebody very specific, then it's much easier, because you know what that person, or you can surmise the kinds of questions that person would ask. So creating a good avatar is really important. It's fiction writers do it all the time when they're creating characters. They want to know, you know, what's the socioeconomic in, you know, socioeconomically where this person is, blonde or brunette, redhead, you know, how tall, what size shoes, how does he or she dress, you know. Those are things that we enjoy when we're reading fiction, because those help us to define that character that we're reading about. As an author, we need to do the same thing. We need to create a character, an avatar, that we're writing to.
You know, here's an interesting thing with that is that this is no different than any other marketing one kind of discussion. So if we had moved from writing a book instantly to move towards how do we take a product into the marketplace, we would need an avatar. We would need to know who would buy that product. How can they best use it? What need does it fill? What pain does it resolve? What gain does it deliver? All those kinds of things. If I say Judy the soccer mom or Joe the plumber, most people that will listen to this, I know you and I, we're able to envision somebody right in our head of what kind of Judy is, how old she is, what does she drive, her marital status, kids, those kind of things. So we want our avatars to actually be something that we can actually, and other folks can actually can see. So that's good stuff there. Drew, I've got a question, because we're talking on the Internet, on an Internet radio show. So what would you recommend writers create a traditional book, either themselves through a CreateSpace hardcover book that they can hand to somebody, and go the path of trying to find a publisher to publish their book, or a Kindle book?
Okay, I'm going to go back to purpose. That's why I ask people the purpose to yeah. figure out which one, because those are all viable, but they're viable for different people with different reasons. If I don't want to have books in my basement, and most of my clients come to me and say, you know, I don't want books in my basement. I don't want to go out and spend $1,000 or $3,000 and have all these books sitting around here, you know, 8 years later. For those folks, the best option is to write an e-book. And, in fact, a lot of writers start by writing the e-book, and later they may publish it if they get some response to the e-book. But the e-book is really, really useful from my perspective, because it's not a huge investment. It's an investment of your time and your energy, but you don't have to pay to have it published, to have it printed, I mean. And you don't have to deal with the physical product. So if I write it, I have an e-book up, for instance, that's about interviewing. So anybody that wants to know about interviewing can go grab my e-book and just download it to their Kindle, or they can download it to their iPad, or they can download it to their PC or their laptop, whatever, and they can read it there. And I don't have to deliver it to them. They automatically get it delivered to them through Amazon, through the Kindle store. And it's a very quick way to get your book out. Okay. Now, for some people, though, they're going to be a speaker. Somebody who's going to be a speaker, at the end, you can't say, well, why don't you go to Amazon and type in such and such and such, and you can download my book. If I'm a speaker, or in some cases a business person, and I really want to impress somebody that I'm working with by leaving a book there, I can't leave an e-book. I've got to have a printed copy of the book. So for some people, and having a printed copy also has a little bit more credibility to it, because it shows that you've made the investment to get it printed and have it delivered to you, and you're bringing a book to me, or you're allowing me to go online and buy your book online and have it sent, delivered to me and sent to me as a physical kind of thing. So an ebook, I mean, where an ebook is virtual, a physical book has a different feel to it. So it depends, again, what people want to do in terms of their purpose. Why are they writing the book? I've had a number of clients, I think three or four now, where we've done the ebook, and now we're going back and doing a published book. We're taking the book and we're reformatting it so that it can be published in a printed version. And in fact, some of those people are also doing taking their book and making them into Audible.com books, books on, you know, sound books. So there are a lot of different kinds of things. And again, that's why it harkens back to the idea of purpose and audience. Is your audience, if your audience, because when I put out my when I put out my interview book, there were about five people I had to take through the process of understanding what an ebook is and how to download it. And I would have had the book with me as a physical book, I could have handed it to them and they would have handed me the cash right there. So
I think you're touching on some things that are almost a book as a business card, you know, for certain folks. Increased reputation, visibility, platform of having a physical book. You end up being somebody that somebody can say he or she wrote the book on that. You know, so having those things available to in physical form that you can actually use as a prospecting tool or as an added benefit to somebody doing business with you. So I think somebody that's in the business space, certainly having either one of those things, and I love your approach to doing an ebook to start off with and seeing where that is and then taking it as almost a phase one and then taking it through kind of a phase two. So towards that end, why don't you go over if you have a process, because we're now talking about process, what would be a kind of a high-level view or as deep as you want to get, the process of writing and self-publishing a book?
Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Step one is research, and that's researching your purpose, your audience, and doing research on anything that you need for the book, because I suggest to people that very early in the process they begin doing not just audience research, but any research that they need for information that needs to go in the book. Another piece of that research is go out there and read some books that are in the same area that you're in. You don't want to rewrite a book that's already out there. So I suggest to people they do their own outline and have their own idea before they do that. But to go ahead and validate what they're doing by looking and seeing what kinds of things are out there already. So that's the research stage. Once you get the research done, then it's time to begin. And the first thing to do is to write a draft. And I can tell you through my own mistakes over and over and over again that the most difficult thing about writing a draft is finishing the draft. It is so tempting once I've gotten to chapter 3 to go back and start twiddling with chapter 1. It's critical to begin at the beginning and write through, well, not necessarily in order, but write through and get all your chapters and all your information there before you start doing your own self-edit. Once you've got the full draft from page 1 to page end, then you go back and begin to take things out, put other things in. And this is for fiction as well as nonfiction. I think it's just critical to get that draft. Once you've done that, put it in a drawer. This is what I tell people. Go away, walk away from it for a week. Pretend you're not a writer anymore. It won't work, but pretend. You'll still get all kinds of ideas bubbling up. And then go back to your manuscript and edit it. And edit it like the most nasty English teacher you ever had would edit it. Look for every possible mistake that you can find in it and fix it. And then you're going to end up with a rewrite of your draft. I talked to somebody about a month ago and I said, you know, the introduction to your book was so well crafted that I really wanted to write the book. I really wanted to read the book. And he said, you know, the introduction went through 27 drafts. And I thought, wow, that's a little excessive, but maybe not, because it pulled me in to read the book. So that edit process that you do on your own is very important. Now, he also did the next step, which is to work with an editor. find an editor, whether it's a professional editor, it depends on what you're doing with the book, again, your purpose. Whether it's a professional editor or somebody else that is a pretty good with the English language, and have them go through the edit process. A professional editor is going to go through and edit it on about four or five different levels. They'll edit it to make sure it's logical. They're going to edit it for grammar and spelling. They're going to edit it to make sure that there's continuity in it. There's a number of different kinds of edits. I have a book I'm working on. I'm finished with the first edit, and I tore it apart. There's more red than there is print there. And I'm going to go back, and I have to finish the edit and come up with a new version, and then I'm going through it three more times. So this was just the first edit, and it was for logic. And my second edit will be for continuity, to make sure things are continuously talked about in the right way. And then I'll do a couple more edits after that. The last one will be the grammatic edit, the grammar and spelling edit. So,
let me throw something out there, as you hit things, I want to be able to just jump in. So, there are companies now on the internet that are marketing companies, and they're marketing products and services. And your book is going to be a product who will write 20, 30 headlines, just the small headline that would be out there to try and connect with people. And not just a headline. So they'll write 20 or 30 headlines, and they'll test those headlines to figure out which one actually connects with folks. And so, you know, it's not just the, kind of the book. It's there are folks that will rewrite the headline, the description, those kinds of things to see which one actually resonates with your avatar, with the person you're wanting to connect with, who you wrote the book for. And then the other thing I wanted to kind of just throw in here was when you said, read books in your space that are already kind of out there. I think that really – I don't want to bypass that because then that's really good advice, because there are there's a lot of books out there, blogs, there's contents, there's websites. But in almost every area, I think if one really is a subject matter expert, they know their space a lot and they know what's out there, they can find things in their niche that are missing content or are missing knowledge that they have that fit in. So there's a lot of content out there right now, but there's also a lot of things that are new and emerging, or a take or a perspective that the listener here, somebody that's going to be writing their book, they may just have that missing piece. So, you know, I like the fact of the editing and really doing. I think what you probably sometimes in coaching folks is you have to work through people of doing the edits, the rewrites, the making sure it's good, but also not being paralyzed by analysis, and I've got to get perfect thing. So there has to be this medium space where a comfort where you have to take people through is it right yet? Okay, you've got to launch too. I kind of believe in imperfect action sometimes. So how do you help somebody go through this process of really editing and then knowing that, you know, it's time to sail that ship?
Right. That's a great point. Analysis paralysis can absolutely kill a book. When somebody's very analytical and they write a book and they go into the editing stage, they can be there for way, way too long. You got to get it as good as you can. No matter, every book I've put out, every book I've ever read has a mistake in it. There's just no way when you have that many words not to have some problem with it. It's like, you know, software, when it goes out in its alpha state, it's got to be tested, and then it's got to be fixed. No matter how good the editing is, there may still be a problem or two. But you want to get it as close to, and I'm not going to say perfect, as close to great as you can. It should be great, but it doesn't have to be perfect. So I think that, you know, that's a terrific point you brought up, because it is easy to go in there and look at every single word. Well, when you're writing a poem, that's fine. But when you're writing a 120,000-word book, it's going to take some time to do that. And you may not want to go and personally and go look at everything three or four times. So that's really important with the editing. And I really like what you're talking about with people giving you the marketing information for it, because a book ultimately is a product. There's no way around it. It is a product, and it, as as much as it's a creative child for the author, it ultimately ends up being a product, whether he is successful with it or not. If it's going to be published, even if it's e-published, it's now a product. It's out there in the marketplace, and people are going to look at it. And so the author really has to stand back, and this is part of the editing process, is to stand back, be the avatar. Read the book from the avatar's point of view, not from your point of view. You know what you were saying. Does the avatar know what you want to say? That becomes the question in editing. We could talk, you know, for an hour about editing, and there are some great editors that I know. When I go through and work with people and edit as we're putting their book together, by the time we get done going through it once or twice, and then I have them go through it again, I say, okay, now is the time to send it to a professional editor, because we can't see it anymore. We've been looking at it for way too long. So that's when it really needs to go to a professional editor. Now,
hang one second, because I've got some editor questions for you. So I want you to hold back on that just a little bit, okay? We've got good time. One of the things that I've had the pleasure of knowing a lot of authors, published authors, that they just started this, their first book. It was just an e-book, all the way to folks that have been very successful writing books, and that's what they do for a living. And almost to a person, almost to an author, after they've done their book and it's out there, they will say that writing the book was hard, but it was easy compared to then marketing the book and transferring from being the writer of the book, which is hard, and you've gone through some of the steps of doing that, to, okay, that was easy when it's compared to now I'm taking this book into the marketplace and the competition and who's addressed to and how do I do that thing. So, it's, you know, I have a lot of respect for authors because they go through multiple hard processes in order to birth that creative baby of theirs. So, again, we're going to get to the editing portion of this here shortly. But, you know, some folks that are listening, I want to get to sometimes the money part, you know, because this is somewhat of a commercial show where the Expert Script is us behind the scenes with experts so they can go out in the marketplace and do what they're passionate about to actually earn a living doing it. So can folks make money writing a book? Is that something that should be a focus? Is it something to be embraced? Share with me with regards to the economic side of writing a book.
Sure. My answer to can I make money writing a book is maybe. And I say that because it's contingent on a number of things. I know people who have written their book, went out, had it published, and they are out at the farmers market. They're at every event they can be at, and they are giving away or selling their book. And the best person to do publicity for a book is the author, because that's who we want to talk to. When you finish reading a book, it would be great to be able to go have a one-on-one with the author, because we all have questions and we all have insights and those kinds of things that want to be shared. And with social media, it's now possible to do that much more than it was 20 years ago. But but people do want to communicate with the author. And so the author is the best person to do publicity, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, you know, LinkedIn, their own blog, guest blogging. There are so many opportunities in social media to be able to get out there and do that. But the thing is to really sell your book that you've published on your own, you're going to have to be hustling. You've got a full-time job as a marketing and sales guy. And so in some cases you can. Now, here's the other side of it. Many people that write their business books write the business books so that they can establish their expertise and from there create a link to their programs that they're doing, whether it's a seminar or whether it's a training of some type to help people to be more healthy or to help people to be more prosperous in their business or to help people have greater satisfaction in what they're doing with their lives. Oftentimes, the people I know that are making the most money from their books are people that are using the books, as you say, as a business card for people to understand a little bit of what they do and have an opportunity to come into a coaching program or come into a seminar or something like that. And that's where the author that's where I've seen the authors making the most money today. Now, there are a few if you write the perfect vampire novel, you know, for a 14-year-old girl and get it out there and somebody finds it and starts blogging about it, yeah, you can make money. There are some people out there, there's some young kids, you know, that are millionaires from their e-books. But I would say they're also one in a million that are able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes folks that make money on their first book never make money on another book. So it's not like it's a huge career path. It's very, very hard to do. So, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. A book for speaking engagements, a book for client prospecting and customer acquisition, a book for professional positioning, a book for career advancements. These ancillary or secondary things that a book helps you position yourself to expand your platform, your reach, your visibility, your reputation, those kind of things. I find most people that, and again, I spend more time in the business space, most people, as you say, that end up being very successful doing this aren't just an author. They're an author slash those other things they want to do that the book positions them to monetize. So let's dig into editing. The process of finding an editor, what maybe control you have to give up or things you have to embrace when you have an editor. Share some things there.
Okay. I have a great story about editing. I had somebody that I knew pretty well, and I decided I would help him put his book together. And we started working together, and he sent me the book, and I went through it with a bunch of short stories, and I went through. And he decided that he wanted all his spelling to be Oxford English. He wanted to use punctuation marks creatively, the way that he just wanted to, whether it was right or not. and ultimately, we had a conversation, and I said, look, I think you would be a better editor of your book than I would. Because we argued over everything about it, okay? So it's really important to get an editor that's on the same page that you're on. And one of the ways to do that is a good editor will usually ask you for a chapter or two and look at it and then from that point evaluate whether they're the right editor to work with you or not, and B, the scope of how big that edit's going to be, how deep is it going to go into the book. If there's a lot of grammatical errors, if there's logic errors and the book really needs still to be developed, it's a much bigger process than a book that's pretty well finished and the editor just goes through and does another check for spelling and grammar and those kinds of things. So there are two kinds of editors. Well, there's actually a lot of different kinds, but there are two phases of editing, high level. One of them is called developmental editing, and that's looking at the whole book and working with the author in such a way as to make it the best possible organized product that it can be. And the second one is a copy editor, who is the person that goes through, looks for the missing commas, finds the misspellings, makes sure there are periods, that there's not two spaces between every sentence, those kinds of things. So there's basically two phases of the editing that you want to do, that you want to know what you're doing before you get in touch with an editor. And then you want to have a conversation with the editor. You want to see if you get along. I mean, even if it's on the phone, you really want to get a feel for that person and see if they understand what you're doing. One of the things that that's really difficult about editing is that it's important to keep the language in the voice of the person that wrote it. It's not like being an English teacher and going in and correcting everything that's wrong and making it sound like standard English. You have to get the voice of the author. Just like if somebody were a ghostwriter, ghostwriters have to do that same kind of thing. You've got to understand how the author communicates, and you have to be able to work with that for your particular client to do a good job of editing.
Awesome. So And so are there ways online? Are there ways that somebody, I mean, besides somebody just reaching out to you, and we're going to leave some information for any listener, and we'll put it on the show as well. But is there any? What are some ways for someone to find that editor that kind of gets them, that can speak in their voice, that understands what their role is? Do you have some tips on that?
Well, what I've done is what I do for my clients is I have a list of about 12 to 15 people who I know are really good editors. And what I will do, and they have different arenas that they work in. There's one person that's really good with animal stories. There's another person that's really good with memoirs. There's another person that's really good with business books. There's somebody else that I know that works specifically with technical books for universities. And so I made a list of resources there on my website so that people could find the kind of editor they need and then contact them and then go through this vetting process. Because as an author, you want to vet your editor. You want to make sure that editor understands what your purpose is in the book and how you're going to produce the book, you know, and what you want to do with it. Before you go ahead and set up a contract with somebody. The other thing to do is ask other writers. Do you have somebody that's edited your book that's really good that you can work with that I might be able to, that might be good for me? Because nobody knows editors as well as authors. So that would be my other suggestion there. And that's not necessarily on the Internet, but...
No, I understand. In your local area, sometimes, I mean, I always think get off the Internet and go into your local area. That's where you'll probably find most of the real answers and the real relationships. So, and you've got something coming up, the Triangle Book and Writers Conference. And that's out of the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area. But I would imagine if folks go into meetup.com or start looking around their area or talk to other writers or go to independent bookstores in their area, that they're going to be able to find other writers and find that community they can best connect with and go and connect with those folks and be able to make real relationships with folks in their own area to find their solutions. So we're coming on upon our hour, so I want to get two more things in here. First of all, I want to, if you still have one or two kind of critical pieces of advice that you could give somebody, now that we've gone over kind of some of the processes, give some pieces of advice that you could give to somebody who's decided they're ready to write their book. And then right after you're done with that, I want you to just jump right into it. How does somebody contact you, web address, Twitter, any of those kinds of things? And then I'll take over and we'll close this segment out.
Okay, great. I think that there's a couple things we haven't even talked about that I think are critical. One of them is writing is a solo adventure, and it is important to get out into the world and meet other writers, meet people in the domain that you're writing about. If you're writing about animals, you know, about veterinarian kinds of things, go spend time with vets, you know. Go find out what they're saying and what they think. You need you're going to need the camaraderie of people in the field that you're writing for, as well as the camaraderie of other people that are going through all their miseries in terms of being a writer. I mean, everybody hits some kind of writer's block at some point, and it's really nice to have somebody to talk to help talk you through that. The other thing I would say, and this is one of the most important things that I've done over the last year, is I found a writing mentor. I am a writing coach, but I have a coach. And my writing mentor has meetings once a week, and she for the most part, will just talk about something and spend most of the hour talking about it, and then we are able to ask questions that relate to that. And there's a Facebook group with it. So become part of a community, I think, and have a mentor. And I think that makes the writing a little bit easier to do and keeps you from being isolated. So those would be my other pieces of advice.
All right, excellent. Drew Becker, how does somebody contact you?
Okay, my email is Drew, D-R-E-W, Becker, B-E-C-K-E-R, 11@gmail.com. You can also find out about the publishing at realizationpress.com. I'm on Facebook. It's Dre Becker is my handle there. And, you know, I can't think of my Twitter right off the top. I don't do as much Twitter as I do Facebook and things. So the best way is to really email me, and let's connect. Also, I'm also on LinkedIn, so you can find me on LinkedIn as well. So.
What I'll try and do is get that information from you and put it as part of the show page, so that if anybody comes across it, they'll be able to be able to go there. I won't be putting your email address there because that's sometimes that's harvested by the spammers amongst the internet crew. So, well, Drew, I have a lot of respect for you, so I really appreciate you taking the time. This was very good information. And I just want to say that one of the big objectives I want to try and accomplish with this expert's grip, and the word grip comes from the old vaudeville and circus and early movie days, where these were the people behind the scenes. They support the actors or actresses. They make sure the lights were in the right place, that things worked, and they have a grip on things. So it's an old term about the folks behind the scenes. So that's what I want to try and do. So if you're listening to this, go write your book. Connect with me. We'll see if we can do things. Reach out to Drew Becker and see if he can help you. I did an interview recently with Alice Osborne, and she's in the space of writing memoirs. Certainly tune into her interview. It's way too short, but I'll try and have her back. If you're an expert and you come across this thing, I'd love to interview you. And so we'll just go to expertsgrip.com, take a little quiz that I have there, a couple of questions that help us connect with each other a little better, and I'll reach out to you within about 24, 72 hours or so, and we'll see if we can't help you teach folks something, share your knowledge. Drew, again, thank you very much. I really appreciate you.
Can I share just one more thing with our folks?
You bet.
Because I've got something that I think can help people that want to write. It is a wonderful tool called Easy Writer Pro, and if they go to easywriterpro.com, they can download this for free. It is a bookmaking, application that allows you to put in the chapters and then work on whatever chapters you want. And when you get done, everything is linked together so that it's pretty much ready to be an e-book. So that's easywriterpro.com for anybody that might be interested in doing that. And we're giving that away right now.
Awesome. Well, I will add that again to the show as well. So, Drew, thank you very much. All the best to you, and I sure appreciate you taking this time to help others.
Thank you, Pat.
Take care, and bye for now.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.